Well, I want to say it's really been good to be here. I enjoy coming up here.
Amen.
Honestly, I want you to hear me. Now, can everybody hear me? Is these things on? I want you to hear me. I enjoy coming up here because when I come to this church, the people that are here like preaching. I mean, I feel the liberty. I enjoy being here. I go some places, and there's like Brother Paul said last night. There's quite a bit more people than there are here, and you might as well be preaching to the back wall. That's how dead it is. But I like preaching here. Because y'all receive me. And you know what? And your pastor, y'all make me actually feel like I am a real good preacher, you know? And I like feeling that way. I don't get to feel that way much. Now, the message. Whew. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. I'm going to need help tonight with the message. I'm going to need some of y'all to help me a little bit. It won't take much. It won't be a lot of help. But I got to paint a picture before I preach the message. And I wrestled with this thing. You don't know what it's like when you got two or three dozen messages that you'd like to preach, but God's only got one that he wants you to preach. And you've got to sift through all of the dross to get to the good stuff. And so I've got something tonight I want to preach. And I don't know if I can get it again. I told Brother Jim before service, I said, sometimes you have something that the Lord's give you, but you don't know if you can give it away. You don't know if you can get it. You can get across what the Lord gave you because you don't know how to get it across. And so I'm going to try tonight my best to give you this message. And I hope you'll be forgiven. If you don't get a blessing tonight, if you don't get anything out of the service tonight, please don't hold that against your pastor. Okay. I mean, he done his best by having me come. He done the best he could. I mean, and I did the best I could, but maybe the Lord wants something else. But I believe he wants this. Because I had felt in my heart that I'd be preaching this week. I thought I'd be preaching this on Friday night. But the Lord had a different plan. So I want you to take your Bibles now. And I want you to turn to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter 12. And I need you to put something, mark your Bible there. Okay, John 12. And then I need you to go to Mark 14. We're going to be in John 12 and Mark 14. Now, tonight, the whole time, I'm going to give you a heads up. The whole time I'm preaching tonight, I'm going to be in John 11, John 12, and Mark 14. Okay? So you don't have to go all over your Bible. If you want to mark them two places in your Bible, you'll be right there with me. And when I start to read, I'll call it out, and I can read it, and you can follow along, and you can find. I tell my people, take your Bible to church and follow the man of God, and you'll know if he's preaching straight or not.
Right.
Okay? If you don't take your Bible, you just got to take somebody's word that this is what God had to say. So take your Bible, and when I'm talking about your Bible, I'm talking about the old King James Bible, okay? Now, after I read, I want all of you that are physically able, okay, I'm going to ask the pastor to stand right here for just a couple of minutes, and I want everybody that's physically able to come stand around him. And when I tell you to run, you can walk. You walk fast back to your seat. Just go to your seat. Just go back to where you're at, okay? And Brother James, I need you, when this is going on, I need you standing over here on the far side, okay? Right? And if you're comfortable with it, you might want to take your coat off. Because I've got something I'm going to put on you for
just a minute or two, okay? Nothing bad. And Brother Jack, I'm gonna tell you, Brother Jack, I'm gonna ask you a couple of questions. I'm gonna give you a heads up, okay? I'm gonna give you a heads up. Okay. In the Bible. I'm gonna read about it in a minute. That's who you're gonna be tonight, for just a minute. Okay? For just a minute. I'm gonna try to illustrate something, okay? Because I want you to get the message. Now this is the second night in a row I've done an illustration. Last year I did five. I don't normally do that. It's just out of my league because I get so confused when I'm trying to do an illustration that sometimes I put my shoes on backwards. I wanted to tell you this. I had something I want to tell you before I preach, before I read my text. I'm going to get right to it. Okay? Here it is. I wrote it down right here. Several children found a dead robin laying beside the road. And they felt like that robin should have a proper burial. So they took that robin and they dug a hole and they laid the robin in it, and then they called on the preacher's 5-year-old son to conduct the service. And the preacher's 5-year-old son stood there with all dignity and he prayed and he said, "Glory be to the Father and unto the Son, and into the hole he goes." You know, Daddy always said, "In the Holy Ghost, into the Holy Ghost." All right, let's read John 12. John 12 will start in verse 3, and we'll read down to verse 11, okay? And since I'm going to make you stand up in a minute and come up here with the preacher, I'm going to let you sit down right now, okay? John 12. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There's a fellow named Lazarus here. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. That sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment, of sprinkling, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" This he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, "Let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always have ye with you, but me have ye not always." Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, who he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. It goes that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Mark chapter 14, please. Y'all still with me, ain't you? Mark chapter 14, verse number 32. We're going to read 32 through 35, and we'll skip down to 44. Okay? 32. And they came to a place which was called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit ye here while I pray." And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and be very heavy, and said unto them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful to death. Tarry ye here and watch." And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. Verse 44. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, "Whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he. Take him and lead him away safely." And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him and saith, "Master, Master, and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote a servant of the high priest and cut off the ear. And Jesus answered and said to them, are you come out against a thief with swords, with staffs to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you took me not, but the scriptures must be fulfilled. And they all forsook him and fled. And there followed him a certain young man, having a linen cloth cast about his naked body. And the young men laid hold on him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. You may be seated. You're already seated. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I need you tonight. I'm trying, Lord, to be obedient to you. Lord, there's a lot of things in my notebook, Lord, that would be a lot easier to preach. But Lord, I'm trying to obey you. So I pray you would illuminate my mind and quicken my thoughts. And I pray, Lord, you give the people a listening ear and an open heart that they might receive with meekness the engrafted word, that they might grow thereby. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you for everything you do. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, here's what we're going to do. Preacher's going to stand up right here, and he's going to be Jesus. Right? Brother James, you're going to go stand up here. Right? I want all of the disciples to come gather around Jesus for just a minute. Right? All of his disciples, come on. Disciples, okay? And the Bible says, okay, and they all forsook him and fled. Forsake him now. You gotta flee. Everybody flee. Flee. And there followed him a certain young man having a linen cloth cast about his naked body. And the young man laid hold on him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. What is your name?
Lazarus.
Lazarus! We're going to take you to... Did you see that? Here's what I'm going to preach on. Sit down, preacher. Sit down, Jesus. Here's what I'm going to preach on. Lazarus, why are you still walking around like a dead man? See, in John chapter 11, Jesus called Lazarus out of that tomb. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus came forth out of the tomb. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Okay? So they loosed him. He was bound in a linen cloth, but they loosened it so he could walk. It was wrapped all around his body. Okay? But in Mark chapter 14, there is somebody. All of the disciples have fled except one person. Jesus is surrounded by a great Roman army. There was no reason for all them other people to get away. But they all got away. They just let them go. But there was one young man there that had a linen cloth cast about his body. And when they went to him and they asked him who he was, when they went to him and they recognized who he was, they didn't they went to it and they recognized who he was. He had on that linen cloth that had been loosed from his body. They was still walking around him, and they knew it was Lazarus. And the chief priest had declared that when you take Jesus, I want you to take Lazarus, and I want you to kill both of them. Because of Lazarus, there's a lot of people that have trusted Jesus as their Savior. And so we're just going to kill two birds with one stone. And you see Lazarus out there in that garden with Jesus. You grab him. And when they went to grab him, he slipped out of his clothes and he ran off naked. Now my question is, if the Lord Jesus in John chapter 11 said loosen and let it go, why in Mark 14 is Lazarus still wearing grave clothes? Why is he walking around like an idiot? And why is it? I'm talking real plain just a minute. Why is it that there are hundreds of thousands of people that have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and they have been given life and life more abundantly, and why do they still walk around like a bunch of dead men? Why does the average church, if the ambulance would pull up to the front door to pick up somebody that was dead, why is it they had to carry 10 people out before they got the right one? Lazarus! Lazarus! Why are you walking around like a dead man? Child of God! Child of God! Why are you walking around like a dead man? I'll give you some things. I'll pick this cloth up every once in a while. I want you to remember that when God delivers you from the gray clothes, you don't need to be walking around like a dead man. When God has set you free, you don't need to be walking around like a dead man. There's just four simple points, or maybe five simple points. I'll give you the first one is this, okay? In Luke, John chapter 11, look at the first few verses. It says, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary. Her sister was Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Then Jesus heard that. He said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, the Son of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. In verse number 32, or verse 17, when Jesus came to the grave, he found that he had been dead 4 days already. In verse number 32, the Bible says, and when Mary was coming to Jesus and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Verse 36, and said Jesus, behold, how he loved him. 3 times. In verse number 3, it says, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. In verse number 6, verse number 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. In verse number 36, the Jews said, behold, how he loved him. Behold, how he loved him. So my question is, Lazarus, if you've been singled out as one whom the Savior loves, why are you still walking around like a dead man? Just think about it. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever lives should not perish, have everlasting life. If God loves us like He says He loves us, and the Scriptures says that he came unto his own received Him not, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even that believed on His name. And the Scripture bears out in John 11 that Jesus loved. He came to seek and save that which was lost, and that He loves each and every one of them. And I know there was a day when the Lord singled me out and revealed to me that He loved me. It wasn't that He loved the whole world. It was that He loved me. And I wonder tonight, why is it when God singles somebody out and shows him that He loves them, why they keep walking around like that man? If the Lord has singled you out as one that He loves, why would you want to walk around like that man?
Here's the second thing. In John 11, verse 39, Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha said, "Sister Hindle's head," said to Him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." Jesus said unto her, "Said I not unto thee, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, "Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me, and I know that Thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that Thou hast sent me." And when He had thus spoken, He cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." Let me ask you a question. Did the Lord Jesus set Lazarus free from death, from hell, and the grave? He did, didn't He? So why would He want to run like a dead man? And brother, I'm not trying to be mean, but you know the truth, that there's many times we can sit around and we think about the fact that the Lord has set us free from death, hell, and the grave, but we're still walking around like dead men. We're walking around like there's no life in us. Let's let the crowd that don't know Jesus be dead. Let's don't be like the crowd that don't know Him. I mean, if he singled us out, that He loves us, and He set us free from death, hell, and the grave, then bless the Lord, oh my soul, we ought not be walking around like dead men.
That's right.
Yeah. Number 3, look at John 12, verse 1 and 2. Then 6 days before the Passover came to Bethany. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom He raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus, one of them that sat at the table with Him.
Mm-hmm. So the first thing we see is He was singled out as one whom the same loved. But He's still walking around like a dead man. The second thing we see is He's been set free from death, hell, and the grave. And He's still walking around like a dead man. But the third thing we see is He's sitting at the table supping with the Savior. And He's still walking around like a dead man. Well, that's what we're doing tonight, aren't we? Aren't we sitting at the table supping with the Savior? I mean, we're just feasting on the manna of His Word, and we're just enjoying the presence of God. And there Lazarus was, he's sitting right there with Jesus. The table has been spread. They're enjoying the delicious meal that Martha has prepared. He's supping from the cup that Jesus is supping from. But yet, He's walking around like that. I don't understand. I don't understand how people that have that have been singled out by the Savior, that He loves them, and people that He has set free from death, hell, and the grave, and those same people get to sit down at His feet and sup with the Savior from His Word, they still walk around like that. Nothing's ever happened to them. Like they got nothing to praise God about. Like they got nothing to rejoice over. Preacher, if I'm out of line, you go ahead and rebuke me and we'll get it up with you.
Look in John 12:3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment, of sprinkment, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped His feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of His disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who should betray Him, why was this ointment not sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? In verse 7, then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. Much people of Jews therefore knew that He was there, and that they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom He had raised from the dead.
So here's Lazarus. He's sitting there. The Lord has singled him out that He loved him. The Lord has set him free from death, hell, and the grave. He's been sitting there supping with the Savior. All of a sudden, his sister, Mary, breaks open a box of alabaster ointment and begins to anoint his feet and to wash his feet with the hairs of her head. The Bible says even her tears. You look at all the scripture. And Judas says something about it. The Lord rebukes Judas. It's not Lazarus that rebukes Judas. It's the Lord Jesus. But can you imagine for just a moment what it would be like to see your sister on her knees in front of Jesus washing His feet with the hairs of her head? Lazarus, you have seen just how much Jesus means to some of your family. And how much some of your family loves Him. So why are you walking around like a dead man? You have seen that God, I mean Mary Magdalene, she was a harlot at one time, you understand? And God has delivered her from that. Last week, 2 weeks ago, on my birthday Sunday, my wife and I have been praying for her sister's salvation for over 30 years. And after her dad died, her sister moved to live close by us. Tammy's her name. Tammy lived a wicked life. She'd been married 3 times. He said 1, 2, 3. Maybe 4 times. But one of those times she'd married a woman. 12 years. Married a woman. It was a wicked life. She kicked one of her sons out one time and he had to sleep on her bridge for weeks. She never took him back in. He finally got him a job and got him on his own. I mean, she, but on my birthday, out of the church, my sister-in-law comes walking down the aisle, squalling like a baby. And she said, I want Jesus to save my soul.
Amen.
And my sister-in-law got born again on my
my birthday Sunday, she got born again. My wife was on the pen. Can you imagine this now? Her sister that she's prayed for over 30 years has gotten born again. Her sister that lived as a lesbian has gotten born again. Her sister that drank alcohol every night to forget about her troubles and took to antidepressants and sleeping pills every single night. And now her sister has given her heart to Jesus, and my wife's up there on the piano. Can you imagine? My wife just said, well, that's nice. You know what my wife did, preacher? My wife took up all that piano and she went right to her sister and grabbed her. She was screaming and hollering and crying. And her sister was screaming and hollering and crying. And they were jumping all around praising God. Why? Because she saw that the Lord had done something wonderful for her sister.
Amen.
But what happens when God lives in our family? I'll believe it. 6 months from now, they're still with me. Mm-hmm. You just keep walking around like a dead man. You know, I'm wondering if we ain't all got a little case of Lazarus. Because we walk around like dead men all the time. I mean, the average Baptist church just walks around like a bunch of dead people. I mean, the Lord has showed them how much He loved them, and He set them free from death, hell, and the grave, and He lets them come and sup and sit with Him and fellowship around His Word, and then He works in their family's life, and He'll say this one, He'll say that one, and He'll work on the other one, and this one is backslid. Oh, get back right. And we just keep walking around like a bunch of dead people. Don't you reckon it grieves the heart of God? Done so much for us for that, us to act like that. For us to have the Lazarus syndrome. Y'all hang on a bit longer, I'll be done. So he's been singled out as one the Savior loves. He's been set free from death, hell, and the grave. He's been sitting at the table supping with the Savior. And he's seen how much the Lord means to his sister and his other sister, the ones that's laboring in the kitchen, and one is washing his feet, and he sees all that. He's still walking around in the next chapter. Don't understand it. I don't understand it. You would think that if God had done so much for somebody like that, for just one individual, if God had done so much for one individual, you would think they'd be walking and skipping and hopping, and you'd think they'd be got rid of their grave, because I don't need them anymore. I've got the Lord. I've got the Lord. I don't need them grave clothes anymore.
Amen.
Amen.
But we just keep walking around like this. One more thing.
In John 12, 9 to 11. Much people, the Jews, therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, and he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. In Mark 14, they came to that place in verse 32, which was cut with the name Gethsemane. He said to the disciples, sit here while I pray. The Bible says in verse 44, and he that betrayed him had given him a token, saying, whosoever I shall kiss, the same, take him and lead him away. So, and as soon as he would come, he goes straightway to him and said, Master, Master, and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and took him. In verse 50, and they all forsook him and fled. And there followed him a certain young man, having a linen cloth cast about his naked body. The young men laid hold on him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. Lazarus, you've been singled out by somebody else. He sets you free from dead, hell, and the grave. You've been supping at his table, fellowship with him. And you have seen the things he's done in the lives of your family.
oil. The one thing that just makes me just look at you in disbelief is there is something that draws you to the Savior when everybody else is running the opposite way. You're drawn to the Savior. And I don't understand. If there's something that draws you to the Savior when everybody else is running away, Lazarus, why are you still walking around like a dead man? Everybody knew who he was. They tried to grab him. Because for two chapters in the Bible, he's been walking around with that linen that's been loose from his body. And they said, what are you wearing that for? Well, the Lord redeemed me from the grave. He saved me from death and the grave. And I just want everybody to know that I'm the one. I'm the one that he called out. Lazarus, come forth. And what he did for me, he can do for you. So I learned this, but he didn't have to learn that. He was still walking around like a dead man. And something kept drawing him to the Savior. He was still walking around like that. Here's my point. I'm done. If you're sitting here tonight and you have been singled out as one the Savior loves, if you've been set free from death, hell, and the grave, if you have been sitting at this table supping with the Savior, if you have seen God do work after work in the life of your family, and if something keeps drawing you back to the Savior while others have run away, why aren't we up on our feet shouting and praising God? Why are we still walking around like dead men? I want every head bowed and every eye closed.
If you've never been set free from death, hell, and the grave,
you can be tonight. All you got to do is come and meet me at this altar. But if you have been set free from death, hell, and the grave, and you've been walking around like a dead man, and God has convicted your heart about it tonight, my plea to you is get out of that seat and get as close to this altar as you can. If you can't get on the altar, get to the front pew and stay there with God until you can walk out of this building not walking like a dead man. Father, I try to obey you. Lord, I leave it up to the Holy Spirit to do what I can't do. Bless this invitation as Sister plays. Lord, help people be mindful of you. Get out of their seat. And Lord, if they have been dragging around like they don't have new life, if they've been walking around like a bunch of dead people, Lord, convict their heart and help them to get it right tonight. In Christ's name, amen. Let's all stand on our feet if you're able. Sisters playing. My altar's open. If you need my help with something, you can meet me right here at the corner. If you need the preacher to help you, you can meet him. Whatever God says for you to do tonight. If you need to just come say, Lord, forgive me for walking around like a dead man when I have life. Forgive me, Lord, for not giving you the honor and the praise and the glory that you deserve. Forgive me, Lord, for looking and acting just like the Word. And I've got life eternal.